you, Jesus. They're in for a treat. They won't be hearing me this morning. Get a variety. Amen. I do have we're finishing up offering and things. I have a thank you note from Joe and V to the church. Thanks for the flowers during the death of Joe's dad, and also everyone who served and ministered to them in any way during that time as well. Bless you. Hallelujah. I had a letter come today for somebody that needed prayer also. Their name is Violet. So stretch your hand this way. Father, we thank you right now that this situation is in your control. Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit would flood and fill and cause you to be lifted up in all things, God. And the power of the Holy Spirit will be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're excited this morning to have with us in the house Pastor David and Lisa Hughes. They come to us from North Carolina, and they are beautiful people. Their family, their kids have come here for camp and been a part of us for many, many years. And I love the heart that they share, the love they have for Jesus and for people. They like to brag on Jesus. Amen. But I also love our time together and the time of fellowship. And they truly are more like family than they are just visiting ministry. So would you welcome and help preach this morning, Pastor David Hughes from North Carolina.
Thank you. Oh, hello. Even Dan, especially Dan, even Monty. No, we just have so many. We've been just coming here for times to minister like this, conference, and just if we can find a reason, we're going to get here. And just love this house and these people, and it's a place of refreshing. I want to tell you that, because sometimes the locals, you know, I know how it was when I was pastoring. The locals just sometimes don't realize, and I'm not saying you take it for granted, but you come every week, you're here, you're fellowshipping, you just see the people. I'm telling you, for those that don't get to pass this way as often, getting to see you is a treat. It's refreshing. It's encouraging. You know, I want to tell you, I received that word that you spoke, and I appreciate that. That word about horizons has something dear to my heart. And I'm always careful. I try to be sensitive to the Spirit. I want to say something before I speak. And a lot of times when I do that, I don't get to what I thought I was going to say. And that's okay, because the Lord will speak what he wants to speak. But that word horizons always spoke something to me. I wrote about this. But when I was a 17-year-old kid, I grew up in a home. I mean, I went to church every Sunday. I was, you know, I knew the Lord. I got saved when I was small. Now, our church fellowship, it wasn't a whole lot happening there, just to be real honest with you. And when I grew up, this is the honest truth, I knew I was going to go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life, because it's what you did. And I thought, I hope I can find one that they don't preach a long time and I can get out, you know, before too late, because it is so boring when I'm there. That's just the honest truth. Something happened. My parents modeled it. They lived it before me. They weren't perfect, but they showed me Jesus. Something happened to my heart when I was 17 years old. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but you need to hear sometime. I was at a second chapter of Acts concert, and a lot of y'all go, who in the world is that? They used to be cutting edge. I mean, that was cutting edge, contemporary Christian ministry and music back then. And I remember being at a concert back in the 80s, and I had gotten involved with the Bible study there, and there we were in Raleigh, North Carolina, at Memorial Auditorium, and something touched my heart, Terry. I mean, something real. I knew Jesus, but I didn't get it. I didn't want to go to hell. I just wanted to go to heaven. I just live whatever here. And so, young folks, I know what that's kind of like sometimes, because you go, I don't know. You know, it's good for my mom and dad. I don't reject it, but I don't completely get it. But something happened there, and it built. You know, it was building up. There was a lot of people and a lot of saints, my parents, and other people that sowed in and made that moment happen. Now, I was a believer, but something happened in that moment that I can't put my finger on. It wasn't something they said. I don't even remember all the songs. I just remember being in that atmosphere. Now, I grew up in a church, you didn't lift your hands in worship. The only time you'd lift your hand was in Sunday school if you need to go to the bathroom. Can I please be dismissed? But I was sitting there in that concert, and I found my hands lifted up. Nobody told me to do that, and I'm not telling you you have to. But I'm telling you there was something in me compelled me, and I remember experiencing the Lord in a way beyond. I'm not saying doctrine's not important. The message, the word is absolutely essential. But it's not just doctrine I was having a fellowship with. So there was something happening in my heart in that moment, and I remember saying, Lord, I don't understand this, but if this is you, if this is what you're about, I want more of this. And you say, well, it was just feelings. Yes, it felt awesome, but it wasn't just the feeling, it was a realization of something. And we had a guy, took a bunch of us teens up there, and we're driving back in a van. And all I could think was, in my just simple mind, there's nobody there knew what was going on in my heart in that van. I was like, I can't believe this. I don't want this to end, because it was an encounter with Jesus and it started something that is still going on. Yeah. There are times I get frustrated. Do you? There are times I've felt burned out. There's times I've felt ticked off at the Lord. There's times I felt so high and wonderful, I can't believe it could get any better. I felt the gamut of emotions. But the reality of Jesus and who He is in that, to me, has just, it's never died. And that word you spoke, I remember, I was a 17-year-old kid. I remember the day I was at Phillips 66, not even there anymore. Don't go look for it in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. They've torn it down. But it used to be there, and I can remember, some of y'all got gas cheaper than this, but I can remember pumping 99-cent gas. I had a 1977 Burgundy four-door Chevy Nova that my dad gave me. It was his car's used car when I got my license. I was thrilled. I had some wheels. I could get where I wanted to go, and there I was at Phillips 66 service station, had the gas cap behind the license plate. If you didn't know it, you'd spend the rest of your life looking how to try to figure out how to get gas in that car. I thought, whose idea was it to hide it behind the gas? So you'd flip down the license plate and start pumping gas. And I remember looking up, and there was a highway that went out of our town. And it just stretched to the horizon. I'm standing there. Let me tell you, God loves. It's not that He invades. He's already there. But there's some. I love the suddenly of God. And it's just sort of a suddenly. This may not have the impact on you, but I forever remember this day. I'm sitting there. I didn't know what it was like to have the Lord speak to you or talk to you. I knew He did. I mean, I was reading my Bible, and I didn't understand most of it. I'm serious. I was just thinking, Lord, help me understand this. I don't get it. But He sent a teacher and He said, son, be patient. But there I am, and I felt like the Lord spoke in my heart. And I'm looking out at that horizon, and it's the highway goes in and out of our town, and it just stretched out. And all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord said, son, there's so much of your future in me that's beyond your horizons. You can say, well, I don't know if that's real deep or whatever. I said, I don't know. I just knew. I felt like God spoke to my heart, and I went, I've been pondering that for over 40 years. See, the stuff beyond your horizons are not non-existent. You just hadn't seen them yet. There's some present reality and truth of who Jesus is to me right now and who He is to you right now in this very moment you're in, living and breathing, that are present. But maybe beyond your vision, beyond what you can see. Jesus showed up on the scene. I got to thinking about this morning. I love how the Lord does. I thought I had something, you know, nice and neat. And, you know, here's what I'm going to, we might get to some of it. But the Lord, I just sat down this morning, that beautiful view out there in that little apartment over there. Y'all always just love on us and take care of us so well. And Lisa and I were there, and the Lord just started, things just clicking. And I went, Lord, ho, wait a minute. You slow down now. And all of these things coming back. And I thought about when you said that, Pastor Lisa. When we sang that song, I was a 17-year-old kid sitting there at Phillips 66 remembering that moment. And I said, there's still things. See, there's some things you're standing in right now that 5 years ago were beyond your horizons. Not beyond the reality of what's true to you. Not outstretched and far away. You just didn't see it in the moment. Well, let me tell you. Let the Spirit of the Lord tell us there's still a whole lot more beyond our horizons. And some people think that horizon is something on the other side of the graveyard when I get to heaven. And there's certainly truth to things we'll see there. I take nothing from that, but I'm telling you what, God didn't hold anything back. And He said, I've sent you a legitimate, real life, and it's mine. I've sent you and given you my Spirit, not a spirit like mine, my Spirit. And He's going to literally take you by the heart, by the hand, and lead and guide you into all truth. Not, I believe in sound doctrine, but He wasn't just leading me into a new doctrine. He was leading me into a relationship with Jesus. In Memorial Auditorium in 1984, I didn't have an encounter with doctrine. I had an encounter with Jesus, and I knew Him. I've been saved, but I didn't know Him like that. There was something more. I've been going to this Bible study. Andy, we had a Bible. There's a bunch of kids. Guy opened his house. He's crazy, man. I mean, we'd have like 60 kids sometimes on Monday night go to this Bible study. And we had a guy there, and he'd sing. I was loving it. I was going, you know, the first time, I don't know why, the first time I went, I had that poor little 77 Nova. I had slipped it in the rain and didn't mess it up bad, but I bumped off the road and hit it a little bit on a tree. And I don't know if you've ever had that was my first accident, and it wasn't bad. But, you know, man, that's just on my mind. And I'd had a friend of mine, he'd called me several times. I think back to Sandy, and he called me and goes, hey, man, you want to go to Jimmy's Bible study? And he'd been inviting me, and my mom's like, you probably need to go. This wasn't the... God is my witness. This was not the only reason I went. But I didn't know who was there. But no, she wasn't there. But Sandy did tell me. He said, come on, dude, man. There are a lot of cute honeys there, and they love Jesus. Now, you can say, yeah, you can say what you want. That's not the only reason I went. But I remember going and I would sit there and they'd go through the scriptures and they're talking about things, and it's just that atmosphere. I got involved into that. I'd grown up in church, folks. I'd been around this, but I hadn't encountered Jesus. I'd given Him my heart. I knew I had to do that. I'd prayed the prayer, and I didn't take lightly that and all of those things that we say happen. You know, I'm born again and all that. But I didn't get it. I didn't understand that He came to give me a life. I understood He came to give me a ticket, and I was okay for eternity, but I didn't understand this. And suddenly somebody started introducing me to this Jesus that gave me a life. And I can remember, we'd be going down through the scriptures, and I had my Bible my mom and daddy gave me, and everybody began to comment, and I'm thinking, man, you look back and you go, none of us knew a thing, but there were people who had a lot to say, and they're commenting on it, and I think, I want to say something. Believe it or not, there was a time I used to be shy, but I did. I want to say something. At least I'd go down sometimes. I'd go down like three or four scriptures, and I'd go, okay, let me find a thought or something. We're going to get down there. I'm going to say something. You know what would happen when we get that scripture? Somebody would blurt out what I was going to say, and I went, well, that's all I got. And they done said it. But in that atmosphere, in that setting, something happened. I'm telling you, you're not where you are by accident, and God knows exactly where you are. Not just in your geography. That's where you live and all of that, and where you're seated right now. I'm talking about in your heart. And He absolutely passionately loves you. Jesus came on the scene, and I got to thinking about that this morning. Jesus showed up, and He said, I want to talk to you guys. I want to tell you something. And in John, the 6th chapter, I believe the 63rd verse, He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit, and they are life. Did you know Jesus showed up on the scene and I got some words to speak. And nobody said, words, what are they? We've never heard words. You're going to talk words to you. Just imagine the landscape. Everybody was speaking words. Everybody had something to say. There were Pharisees and Sadducees. There were rabbis. There were just people on the street corners. There was mom and daddy. Everybody was using words. Jesus didn't show up with something different in the sense that I'm going to use some words and nobody's ever used that. But He qualified it. He said, my words are different than the ones you've been hearing. Because I'm talking to you out of another world. I'm talking to you out of the heart of God. And in essence, he himself, when we begin to realize it, was the very living Word of God. He was the very revelation of the heart of God. He was the very one that came to capture our hearts. The longer I go in this, the longer that I experience this life, the more I just want Jesus. And it's simple. I used to apologize for talking about a little bit the simplicity of the gospel, and I'd almost say it a little bit apologetically. And you know, it's like everybody's trying to be deep, and some people are so deep. I used to say this: some people just are so determined to say something nobody else is saying. And sometimes the word of the Lord is something nobody else may be saying. But a lot of times there are a lot of people were so determined, they were saying things nobody else were saying. I don't even think the Holy Spirit was saying them. It would just get so sometimes murky or cloudy. And I try to give people, I really want to give them grace, because I hope they give me grace when I speak, because I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I couldn't imagine why, but still. I have to pay him every time he says that. But see, the words that we speak, what is said, when Jesus was talking, it came from the heart of the Father. And he was saying something that nobody else was saying. And it wasn't just his words. He didn't say, I'm just talking to you some words, put these in with the rest of the words you've heard. He didn't say, I've come that you might have correct doctrine. He said, I've come that you might have life. And I looked at that. See, I look and I go, well, everybody was already alive. What do you mean? He goes, no, they weren't really living. They were breathing air on the planet, but they really weren't living. And if all you do is wake up and just breathe the air, but you're not experiencing him, we're not really living. And there's this disconnect sometimes, because we think, how do I experience him then? What do I do? I'm not qualified. I don't fit in. I don't know. I don't understand. You stand up and go, I hear Pastor Lisa speaking, and it's so good. And I think, well, how does she get that? Where does that come from? How does she understand that? I don't see any of that. Listen, you got the same teacher in you. And as a pastor, as a minister, those kids back there being taught this morning, there's somebody speaking to them, but there's another one that's prompting something in their hearts. I guarantee you the second chapter of Acts has no idea who I am. And that's fine. They might not even remember playing in Memorial Auditorium in 1984 in Raleigh, North Carolina. But because of what was being sung and what was being happened and what was happening in that moment, the Holy Spirit turned something. There was a suddenly. Doesn't mean I got it all then. Doesn't mean I figured it all out. But there was something happened in that moment that was suddenly. The day of Pentecost was like that. It said, and suddenly. But that wasn't the end of the journey for them. That was really just the beginning. But something happened that just went boom. And some of y'all can say, well, I've had some of those. I've had that suddenly moment. And it just seems now it's kind of getting kind of bogged down. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we go, I just don't think I'm in control. I can guarantee you you're not. You and I cannot manage our life. I want to talk to you for just a minute. I do want to get around to this. What the Lord has had something on my heart for a little while, and there's a term that's used in math and even science some. So I'm not taking you to school, but I want to sort of adopt these terms. And I don't understand them all. So if you're like a math, you know, major or something, you know, or got your doctorate in algebra or geometry or whatever, you're going to say, well, that wasn't all correct. Probably not, but just for the sake of illustration, let me just borrow this little thing because this is all I remembered. But there's a couple of terms used in math and science oftentimes when they're like solving a problem. You remember math equations? Some of you kids, don't you love them? No. Oh, they're wonderful, aren't they? You just wish right now we'd pass one out and you'd get to... You know, if X minus Z equals Y plus, you know, whatever, solve for the square root of 74. I don't know. You're all going, oh. But there's these couple of terms that they use, and one of them is a constant, and the other is what? A variable. And I remembered that part. I guess my math teacher would be thrilled. She'd go, well, at least he remembered that. Believe it or not, I never got really in trouble in school except for talking. Can you imagine? I did. I never did. Me and Dan sat in class beside each other, and we talked so much. The teacher said, "I'm going to have to separate you." Did you know she actually moved us back beside each other because it was easy for us to whisper across the aisle and shout across the room? She said, "Y'all aren't going to shut up, are you?" I said, "We're trying." She said, "Just move back to your seat." I said, "Okay." But let me read a little definition to you about this. See, a constant in this setting does not change. A variable, on the other hand, it changes its value dependent on the equation or the situation. So listen to this. A constant is fixed. We're going somewhere with this. A constant is fixed, firm, immovable, stable, a steady value that cannot change throughout the whole process. On the other hand, a variable is fluctuating, it's wavering, it's movable, it's vacillating, it's changeable, it's unsteady. It's a value that can change depending on the situation. Now, this is not meant to be a mystery. Can you pop up that first scripture in Hebrews? I don't apologize for the simplicity of the gospel doesn't mean it's shallow. Matter of fact, it means it has a single focus. It is very deep in the sense that it is rich. We have even begun to delve beyond the horizons of what there is of this life in Christ that he wants us to experience right now. But the simplicity of it, we're talking about a constant and variables. What did he say right here? Jesus Christ is what? Can we say Jesus Christ is constant? Can we say it this way? Jesus Christ is fixed, firm, immovable, stable, steady. Yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away, or do not be carried about with various or varied or variables. Jesus Christ is constant yesterday, today, and forever. But don't be carried away with the variables and the strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by what? Grace. Not your works, not our efforts, not all our good intentions. It is all on God's part that establishes or sets our heart. So we've got here a constant, who is Jesus. And then we've got all of these variables. What's that? Virtually everything else. Our problem is in life sometimes we can't differentiate the two in our hearts. We get confused. We start calling the constant the variable and the variable the constant. It doesn't change the reality, but it sure changes my experience. It changes my heart, changes my emotions, changes all of those things. Pop up the other scripture also, and let me read that one in James, the first chapter. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And it doesn't just mean directionally, it just means from the Spirit. And above is not out there, off somewhere, beyond where we are. It just means it's higher than this mess we're dealing with. I want things that are relevant in the earth but not subject to what's happening in the earth. That stuff sometimes beyond our horizon, what we see in the moment, but it doesn't mean it's not real. And it said it comes down from the Father of lights, which whom there's no variable in God. No shadow of turning. One aspect of that means there's literally no slightest of mutations over eons of time. He never changes who he is. So Jesus showed up. He said, "I'm talking to you. I'm sharing things with you. I'm giving you some words. The words that I speak and what I hope you hear this morning beyond the words of what I'm trying to communicate is the heart of the Lord that speaks to you in the life you now live, to this fellowship, to people that are watching online." Listen, the truth is, they're believers that are tired. They're worn out. Not, it's not God's intention, and there's no need to get wrapped up or feel guilty or just think, "Well, you ever felt like you failed God?" Yeah. Some of you right now feel like that. "I'm failing him every day. I don't know what he wants." Sometimes you think you know what he wants, and it's your perfect behavior, and you can't do it. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't read your Bible long enough. I didn't sing loud enough. I didn't, everything they said, I forgot it. I just all of these things, they're variables. See, I want to look at just a couple of, let me give you a couple of examples. See, there's some things that are variables, but in God, they're constant. Did you know your faith is a variable? The Scriptures tells us not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. James talked about not to doubt in our faith. So in other words, my faith, my belief can vary. It can be unstable at times. Do you always have this pristine, solid faith? I used to think that's what God wanted. I'm immovable. Dun, 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 dun. No, I'm very movable in the natural. In the flesh, I can waver. I can be up and down. I've been in this walk with the Lord a whole lot less than some people and a whole lot longer than others. I don't, you know, I've been doing this for over 40 years trying to learn who He is. And there are times I think, should I be beyond this, Lord? And He said, I don't even think like that. Why are you thinking like that? Come on now. What do you want, Lord? He said, I want you to let me just love you. Because, see, He's not changing. And the Scripture says that God is faithful even when we're not. Over in Timothy, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. And I like this little next part that's in there. He said, because He cannot deny Himself. He didn't say, because I can't deny my doctrine, or I can't deny what I decided I was going to try to do a long time back when I got into this thing with y'all. He said, no, the reason I remain faithful, God says, is because I cannot deny who I am. It's His very being. You know what? My faith is a variable. My faith can fluctuate. Somebody ever told you you need to love God? Be committed to God. Where's your commitment? See, there's another one right there. My commitment is a variable. I can be just as determined as I want. Y'all probably heard this before, but it's good. This is a good reminder. Y'all remember Peter? I like Pete. I can kind of relate to Pete sometimes. Peter, man, he had it all together. He knew it. You remember Jesus talked about some denying Him? What did Pete say? I'm not going to do that. It's like he stood up there with Jesus and go, I don't know about them. You can count on me, bud. I got you back. And I know this whole bunch. You've been working with them. I'm with you. Who knows what they're going to do? But you can count on me. You know what Peter was bragging about? Peter was bragging about his love and his commitment to Jesus. And I believe that he was as sincere as he could be. I do not believe Peter was trying to give Jesus a snow job or lie to Him. I believe Peter believed with all of his heart that he was committed and that he was going to be there. And we know what happened. Peter, you know, the Lord said, you know, hey man, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And one of them, I'm thinking, he said there was a little girl. I'm thinking, I better be careful because I'd have done the same thing. It didn't say, and there was a centurion guard with his sword drawn and asked him, do you know Him? Oh, of course not. I don't know who you think I am. I better get out. He said, nope, there was a little girl. A little girl come up and said, hey, mister, don't you know Jesus? Shut up. I don't know who He is. I'm thinking, Pete, it's a little girl. What's she going to do? Go tattle to her mama? Everything should be fine. It's a little girl. Where is that big commitment and that great faith? Jesus wasn't asking for that big commitment. He wasn't asking for that great faith because He knew your commitment and your faith is a variable and it will not hold you into this relationship. And on the contrary, there was John, who to me I used to think was a little cocky. Did you know John wrote a book of the Bible? He didn't know he was writing a book of the Bible. I believe it's an inspired word of God. They named it after him. And in that book, he wrote about himself. And you know what he called himself? And the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I went, that seems a little cocky, John. Oh, you know, I'm his favorite. That's not what he was saying. Because there was a moment while Peter was bragging about all he was going to do, because his faith's a variable. John was laying over there with his head on his chest, listening to his heartbeat, if you will. And he got a revelation and a realization of God's love, of Jesus' love for him. And when it came down to it, while Peter denied him, John is written and listed being at the foot of the cross. Why? Because God's love for us will hold us, but our love for him will vary. And if I put my faith in the variable, I miss it. You ever made your plans? Yeah, Proverbs says we do. I like the word in Proverbs that says, and man makes his plans, but God has the last word. Because he said in Jeremiah, because I know that God said, I know something you don't know. It's beyond your horizon. God said, I know something, but I want you to know it. I want you to see it. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for you to prosper, to give you hope and a future. And we can go, boy, I wonder when that's coming. Well, that was in Jeremiah. It has come. It is here. God's plan was that he might inhabit us, that we might be in union with him. See, our plans are variables. We know we got it all together. I've made great plans. I've even thought I'd figured out God's plans, and it looks absolutely nothing like what I thought it was going to look like. And so what we can do is sometimes start looking at the variables. We have got to have our hearts captured and captivated and enamored with Jesus, because he is the constant. He is the one who does not change. And I have found times in life where I was trying to figure all the variables. Let me give you an example. You ever said, I feel like God doesn't love me. Everybody ever been in that moment? Now, within that statement, if we can not be too technical and nitpick it, but there are two things in that statement: how I feel and God's love. I have come to a conclusion based on how I feel. How I feel is a variable. Theologically, we know that, but experientially, we put a lot of weight in how we feel because of a circumstance. See, the circumstances we're looking at, If God loved me, this wouldn't look like this. This would not be happening. Yep. Come on. Ever said it? Yeah. So God, this doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like. Now, I'm not telling you God's trying to bring us to a place of misery or anything. He wants us to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wants us to experience such an overflowing of his Spirit. Not that we're always emotionally up. Sometimes you're not emotionally up. I read the other day, and I'd read this before, you know, when Elijah was running from God and he said, I'm going to quit. He just had one of the best revivals ever. I mean, God showed up on Mount Carmel, prophets of Baal destroyed, fire came from heaven, consumed the altar. I mean, his calendar's filling up. He's booking revival. They're talking to him about book deals and TV shows and all of this stuff. Everything's going good. He's like, man, this is what I've been looking for. God, we're about to break loose now. And Jezebel said, well, if this time tomorrow I'm going to do unto you what you did to all them prophets of Baal. And you know what he did? Man, it kind of scared him. Deflated all of that excitement. And he took off running. And God met him right out there where he was running. And of sorts, God really didn't meet him where he was running, because God was with him. People say he ran right into God. No, God was with him. You can say he ran into him, but God was with him. He never outran him. And he said, God, I'm tired. And God said, fine. I like this. He said, take a nap and here's a snack. I read that. I was like, wow. Sometimes we're freaked out and God just says, you need something to eat and take a nap. I'm not saying all of life is that crazy, but think about this. God could have said, I don't know what we're going to do. And he just said, take a nap. God, don't you understand my whole world is coming apart and this is terrible. And you're going to give me a snack and tell me to take a nap. God said, your whole world is not coming apart because I am your world. You need to realize that. And I'm not unraveling. I'm the constant. You're looking at the variables. You've decided that how I feel has more weight than who I am. And how we feel is a variable. It is always changing. The circumstances may not look like it. I know what it's like. We go, it's so real. You might say, Dave, you don't know how I feel. No, I don't. And it may seem very real, but is that feeling the constant? Is that feeling the last word? Is that feeling the reality that just trumps everything else, that is beyond everything else? See, this is the part where I used to sometimes say, I'm sorry for this sounding simple. No, I'm not sorry for this sounding simple, because it is simple. God did not want to complicate this relationship with us. Now, it's deep. It's beyond, and there's so much more for us to experience. I get all of that, but I'm saying the simplicity of it is Him. I've been riding to work some mornings. You know, right now, we're doing something different. It's a different season. And I'm believing that word. And my wife and I, we're good, but we're experiencing sometimes some things that I never thought we would experience at this point, if I can just be honest, because you need to hear that. Paul said, I glory in my weakness. Oh, this is for some people here, and there are probably some people listening. There's some ministers need to hear this. Ministry, we were talking about this last night. See, ministers have been taught for a long time, some of them, never let them see you sweat. Have it all together. Be strong. If they're going to follow you, you need to show them a strong leadership. And I said, you know, I got looking through the scriptures, and I said, I can't find anywhere I was ever told to follow me. The only thing Paul did is he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Just follow my example. And Paul, who, you know, we know the Lord penned 2/3 of our New Testament through him, gloried in his weaknesses. See, I'm not trying to give you some front. I'm not trying to show you something that is not. He said, I don't have a problem with you seeing my humanity, because that's not where my faith is. My faith is in who I am in Christ. And that's why he unveiled that. He unrolled that. He unpacked that by the Holy Spirit and began to show us a whole new life that's available. Not absent from the weaknesses of the flesh, but right in the middle of them. Because the variables do not change the constant of who Jesus is. And too many of us, we've juggled, and right now we're living according to a lot of variables sometimes in our mind or in our hearts. And we say, well, this is just the way life's going to be. Why? Because I feel it. It's been like this for a long time. I remember telling somebody one day, you know, you ever had those moments where the Lord you just know it was Him. It just, when He spoke something, it kind of shook you. And I was talking to him, and I don't know what was going on. They were talking about all the stuff they were going through and what they were experiencing. And it was just like stuff we experienced. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't the end of the world, but it certainly was nothing anybody wanted to go through. And I remember looking at them, and I just said, it's going to be all right. And immediately the Holy Spirit said, what in the world right did you have to tell them that? Because they were talking about how they were feeling. And it shook me for a moment. So I just didn't back out of that conversation, but I just didn't go there anymore. And I had a little conversation later I began to ponder this. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're saying. And I believe he began to give me clear. They were talking about what they were feeling and what they were experiencing, and I just gave some blanket, everything going to be okay. And of sorts, everything is okay in Christ. But you know what? They might feel that way tomorrow. They might feel that way the next day, because what changes ultimately that is not our determination. It is not our effort. It's not our good works. It is not all of this trying and striving and presenting to God something. I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. It comes down to the simplicity of faith, because there is a constant, and it is God's love. And he said, what I want you to trust is my love. And if somebody, I've talked with people, they said that life's tough. And I go, and it might be. Because if I don't choose not to fix myself, not to try to get it all together, not to try to change my circumstances or my situations, not to become, you know, super Christian. I used to think I was going to bust into the phone booth. I don't know if they still, does Superman still? I never thought about that. See, my brain just squirrely. I just thought Superman can't exist because there's no more phone booths, right? That's why we haven't seen him. He has nowhere to change. And there's a whole generation going, what's a phone booth? Google it. But we used to think that's what's going to happen. We're going to go into the phone booth. We're going to rah and just come out. You know the one who comes out? It's Christ in you, the hope or the expectation of glory. The world doesn't need, it's not that they need a revelation and a realization of me, but they do need a revelation and realization of us in Christ and Christ in us. So there is an unveiling, but it's not the sense that we finally get to the point where we have it all together and everything's perfect. We face things. We go through things that are not pleasant. We go through things sometimes that we didn't sign up for. And sometimes, you know that, if you've been through some stuff, if you look back, you go, hey man, I did not sign up for this ride. If some of the stuff we experienced in life was an amusement ride at the theme park of your favorite choice, you would not go to Disneyland and sign up for that ride, would you? Oh, there's one I want to get on. Relational heartbreak. I want that one. Now, I am not, you say, don't bring things down. I'm not bringing things down. What I'm doing is hopefully by the Spirit, and what the Lord's doing is showing us that in the midst of stuff that in this world are variables, they don't have the final word. They don't even literally have the first word. They should not be in the conversation. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you some things, and it trumps everything else. And I've come back to him, Lord, I don't feel. He said, that's a variable, son. See, you might not feel like I love you, but my love is the constant. It cannot change. I cannot deny myself. How you feel about it is irrelevant. We have a whole generation now, or not a whole generation, but there are a lot of people, and I've heard people say, we need to be careful and we don't do anything that hurts anybody's feelings. Now, I'm not talking about intentionally going out and just being mean, because we used to do that in church, and we called it speaking the truth in love. And if you said, I want to speak the truth in love, it's kind of like it gave us a license to be just as mean as we wanted to be and go, I'm just telling you the truth. That's not what I'm talking about. But there is a reality of what we're experiencing and what we're going through. And I found something out. It's not that God ultimately doesn't care how I feel, but to a certain extent, he's not just trying to change how I feel. Okay? Your feelings and my feelings will follow what we believe. If you believe God has abandoned you, then you might feel forsaken. Has God abandoned you? No. See, that's the constant. That's the unchangeable. My feelings tell me that I'm doing this alone, or this isn't working out right, or I failed God, or whatever. See, you remember Pete that denied Jesus? I think it is so amazing that on the day of Pentecost that we have recorded, this struck me as something. Now understand, after Pete denied Jesus, he didn't go to 4 years of seminary. He didn't hone his skills in preaching class. He didn't show God through 4 missionary journeys his commitment to him. Pentecost was literally 50 days after Passover. So we're talking about less than 2 months after he wrecked it and blew it. The day of Pentecost comes and people don't understand what's going on. And the Holy Spirit said, I got somebody that I'll help explain this to you. If they'd have gotten together, they said, who should it be? You know what we'd have said? I don't know, probably not Pete. He's still in time out. Yeah, we'll get John. John gets it. He's so good with words. He should write a book. But the Holy Spirit said, let me show you how I do this. Let me show you the heart of God. And he nudges Pete out. Some of you need to hear this. Because when Jesus came to Pete after all this was over, you need to hear this. Not just my word, you need to hear what the Holy Spirit's speaking to some of you right now. There's some people listening. You need to hear this because you feel like you've blown it. Because you know, some of you go, I've grown up in this. I know it and I shouldn't be where I am. And Jesus came to Pete. And you remember he said, do you love me? And this is just, I don't want to get too technical here, but there's two different words for love used in that whole conversation. Because Jesus said, do you agape me? Do y'all kind of understand at least a concept of agape? That's God's unconditional, unmerited, just is love. And you know what Pete said? You know, and he used the word phileo, a brotherly love. I really like it. Like, yeah, it's what I got, Lord. Jesus said, okay. You ask him again, do you love me? Do you agape me, Peter? And Peter said, Lord. Something had happened in Peter, and he won't bragging about his love anymore. And Jesus, Jesus, the last time said, Pete, do you phileo me? You got a brotherly love and compassion? He said, Lord, you know I do. He said, go feed my sheep. Because he wanted us to realize God accepts us right where we are because it's not our strength, our determination, our fortitude, our dedication. It's none of that. And you go, well, you should be dedicated. You know what I want to be dedicated to? Trusting that he is dedicated to me because it is not my commitment. It is not my determination that is going to hold me in this relationship. And you need to understand God's not done with you. It's not just a matter of ministry. Folks, let me tell you this. It's not just saying, okay, God's going to suddenly set you up in this great ministry. And maybe he will or maybe he won't as far as what we see. But the truth is he sets you up in a great place in him to just love you and hug you and be with you and sit with you. When I was preparing, you know, there are times I just sit back in my study and was just sort of preparing my heart, and I was thinking about some of this stuff. And, you know, I've told my wife, our office, oh, Lord, we have a grandbaby at the house that's getting ready to turn two. I do not apologize for just a blatant grandbaby plug right there. Mackenzie is the most precious little girl. Grandpa loves you. And our house looks different with a grandbaby. It's not dirty, but there's stuff. And you got to make room for some other stuff, and so some stuff has got to be moved, and it probably should be moved out of the house and down to the dump, but some of it's gotten moved to my study. And I don't use this in a religion. That my study has always been to me I don't mean this religion. It's been a sacred place. I'm not saying that every place isn't, because the truth is everywhere you are is set apart. But there's just been moments back there in my study at my desk, just talking to the Lord or praying, and I just had so many moments. And it just feels sometimes kind of cluttered. But I was back there, but that's still my place. I can kind of get away. It's at the back of the house. But you know what happened while I was back there? Might have, too. Leave it to Monty. Somebody left a dirty diaper. But in the middle of all of that, there I am. I'm looking at the scriptures and just, you know, laying your heart out to the Lord. We all do it a little different, but you're doing that. But suddenly, there was something. Some people could say, well, was there an interruption? Oh, you better believe it was not an interruption. I heard a little voice. And a little girl about that tall with little blonde hair come to the door. She said, Grandpa, what are you doing? Nothing right now. First thing right now is, what you doing? Why? What you doing? Why? You know what she wanted? To just be with Grandpa. Yeah. You know what Grandpa wanted? To just be with her. Yeah, Lisa said truth was, she probably wanted candy. But still, she came up and she sat in my lap. And I have these little notes and my Bible open and all of this stuff. And I don't make light of that. I do not. But I do not look at her and say, boy, you sure are an interruption. I'm doing important stuff in here, girl. I'm preparing to preach. I got to get these thoughts together. No, she's not an interruption. She could sit there as long as she wanted to, and she sat there as long as she wanted to, and she got down, gave me a big hug and a kiss, got down, ran back out of the room. You know what I thought? Well, I did not think, I'm glad she's gone so I can get back to what's important. I'm not saying that's not important. But when she left, my thought was, man, I hope she comes back. And you know, it just struck me in that moment. Another little reminder. You have it with your kids. You have it with your grandkids. Grandkids are different, though. They always told me they were. I didn't know. I have no reference point. I do now. There's stuff you told your kids no, and you go, not with grandkids. You can have it. And it struck me that, you know, Lord, I did not. And she's hard to understand sometimes. She's not got her words all right, and we're deciphering things. But I didn't tell her, until you learn to talk to me where I can understand you, don't come here. Because I understand her heart. And she wants to be with me, but even more than that, I just want to be with her. And I said, Lord, that's you, isn't it? He said, you're getting it, son. You're getting it. I didn't ask you to come up here and wow me with anything. I just want to be. And he said, I'm right here. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's a constant. That's the truth. Are you weary? You worn out? You burned out on religion? He said, come here. I'm going to show you how to rest. And too often some people have said, come here. We're going to show you how to work and please God. And I believe there's work. I believe things flow out of the new creation. I believe there's fruit and things that happen. But it is definitely not a work to obtain His favor, His presence, His love. I don't know why, I just want to tell you, sweetheart, He loves you. You know that. But He loves you. What's your name? Missy. Missy. See, you're the apple of His eye. Means the single focus. See, when we talked about the simplicity of the gospel, literally means the single focus of the gospel is Jesus. In other words, our single focus is to be Jesus. But He said, you are His single focus. Well, how does He do that? There's a whole row here, and there's probably a bunch of kids going, oh, I wish He'd say something like that to me. He said it to every one of you. See, some of us, we go, I can remember when people used to do that. And I try to be careful because I'm just sort of sensing it in my heart. But see, it doesn't mean it's not true of you, sis. Every one of you down the line, say, He's just talking to the kids? No. Who's the oldest one in here? Raise your hand. You are the apple of His eye. But you're the apple of His eye. You're the single focus. When He created you, He said, would you look at there? So I look at creation, and God created, and He said, that's good. The world couldn't handle it. See, I love the transparency. He created and He said, that was good. I don't know, kind of how my mind works. Sometimes God created and I believe the Godhead was there fellowshipping. I don't understand all that. It's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're one, they're three, they're all of that. But they created and I believe He looked up and said, ha ha, look at that. Man, that's good. And then God brought about a new creation. Because He said, all of that other, that's just a place for them to naturally dwell. I've made a place for them to eternally dwell in the Spirit. And I believe when God, what He accomplished in Christ, let me try to close with this. Isaiah said His word would not return void, but would accomplish that in which it was sent to do. And I believe there's a truth to what I'm about to say, but I do not believe it's the ultimate truth. I was always taught we have to return the word of the Lord to Him. In other words, He said, you're healed. You declare you're healed. And I believe there's truth in that. But I believe the ultimate truth of that was He said, my word that I sent will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I sent it to do. Mission accomplished. What was the word? Jesus. Jesus returned unto the heavenlies, a glorified man, accomplishing redemption. And I believe in that moment, God thought creation was good. And it was wonderful. But I believe the heavens high-fived. Angels shouted. And they said, that was awesome. As one song, old song used to say, said, when redemption came about, God said, I formed the worlds with a whisper. But I'm getting ready to shout. And you are what he's bragging about. You, his creation. Your life. I know what it's like. I've sat. I've been in settings like this. I've been in just going through life. And you hear things and sometimes you go, man, that's awesome. I wish it was true for me. But I just don't feel it. May God trump so miraculously right now your feelings with his love. May you know, I hope you feel, but more so, may you know his absolute, everlasting embrace of you. Somebody sent us a song, been out a couple of years ago. And at the moment, it was good, and it still is. We still got it on our playlist. And my buddy Val, some of y'all know Val, and it's called It Ain't Over Yet. Some of y'all ready to quit? Some of y'all ready to throw in the towel? Some of you may have. But God said, it ain't over till I say it's over. And it ain't over yet. There's still too much on your horizons. Dear brother, he's gone on to the Lord. He was a statesman in the Lord. Brother Charles Cookman, y'all don't know him. But he was a guy down in our area. He led the denomination we were part of for years, but he was a real deal. And he used to make this statement. He had a message. He preached it all over the place. If there's anybody listening who knows him, they know what I'm getting ready to say. He passed out these little cards. We put a magnet on it, stuck on our refrigerator. I see it every time I go to the refrigerator. So I see it a lot. And he simply said, what's happening is not what's going on. In other words, the variables, they are not the constant. What you think you see, what you think you feel, how you might ascertain that things are going, your plans are falling apart. No, they're not. Because the constant is God's love. And he's not changing who he is. He's not changing his heart towards you and I. And it is simple, but it is very deep. May your hearts be encouraged. May you be strengthened with power and might in the love of God that he has for you. May the constant of who Jesus is, and the reality of who he is, so overwhelm your feelings and your emotions. Lord, I just pray over everyone here. I pray over those listening. I can't change their heart. I can't even change my own. But I pray that your Holy Spirit right now would whisper in their ear, just like you did that prophet that ran from you. Man, he's hiding out in a cave, but there was a gentle whisper, a still small voice. God, you're present with them. You have not abandoned. You have not forsaken. Your plans are not over. It ain't over.
Come on.
You are not done with unfolding your grace and your mercy. And we're strengthened in grace, God. Because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your love is the constant. Your heart towards us is the constant. Your faithfulness to us is the constant. Your plans for us is the constant. Your commitment to us is the constant. May our hearts find rest in that. May everyone here, there's a bunch of people in here, and we are a single body in Christ, but for every individual member, you know them by name. You know the details of their life. You are present with them. They didn't earn your love and they can't unearn it. Your presence, your strength, your power. May it be a day of the dawning of a new horizon. May it be a moment of being reminded of something that maybe we just lost a little sight of. We can all do that sometimes. May it be a suddenly. However subtle or big that may seem, but may we all experience that suddenly. May we know the reality of your love that holds us. When we walk out those doors, Maybe life feels like it jumps and slams us in the face. Maybe there's problems and things going on we literally do not have answers for, and we feel they've got to be dealt with. Lord, walk us through. But let us know that you are in the midst of it, and nothing gets us off guard. There's no man, woman, boy, girl, circumstance, situation, government, nothing that can trump and change your purpose, your plan, your desire, and your heart towards us. You're greater than all of that. May our hearts be embraced by the constant, and let the variables fall. Hallelujah. Little boy said, Pastor, at least this is gooder than chocolate milk. This is good. God's raising up those. He's doing that in this house. That's one thing. I didn't do that because you had one, but I felt like when I was praying too over all of this that I said this in private to Lisa. I say it publicly. I love how she ministers Jesus. You are a blessed house. Now, we get familiar sometimes, and there's a lot of family here. And some of you look and go, well, that's my sister. That's my aunt. That's my mama or whoever, you know. And yeah, that's all true. And that's the greatest relationship, that intimacy. But there's a gifting, too, that you don't need to lose sight of when the Lord ministers. And you have a way of saying things, and I told you this in private, but she has a way of saying things that sometimes I go, man, I wish I'd have thought of that. And then I thought about that, and I went, no, I'm not. I'm glad I didn't think of that, but my sister Lisa did, and so I got to still hear it from the Holy Spirit, but it came through a unique vessel. And I thank you for what God's done, and I pray over you and Dan in this house. I don't know what you feel. I don't know what you go through, but I know what it was like to pastor. And I know that it's not a miserable thing. Some people think, well, it's just terrible, but there's challenges in life, but there's challenges in pastoring too. And I just pray for refreshing. I just believe God to just bring a tremendous refreshing. And He's raising up leaders. There's some that are very apparent. I will say this. There's some here that are not apparent at all. But they are going to emerge. And when we say leaders, we have to understand. We think, oh, I'm going to get a name, a badge, get an office or something. No, in the body of Christ, the leaders are the servants. And that's one thing this house knows how to do is serve. And the Lord is raising up those that will serve. And they will be a testament to the grace and mercy of God. There's generations coming behind and coming along, and they're seeing. And sometimes we look at these generations and we go, God, are you connecting? Is it sticking, Lord? Is it? Yes, it is. But He's going to do it different with that generation than He did with ours. But yet we walk as one generation in the Lord, a royal priesthood all together. But there's a uniqueness. I don't mean this in arrogance. I'm kind of glad the teens were in here today too. Because man, the stuff God's got for you guys. And it used to, I can tell you as a people, I don't know that the Lord's necessarily, I'm not saying that I'm a prophesier. He's called you out. If he wants to do that, He will. But what I'm saying is this, because I've been in settings sometimes, and I'm like, oh man, you know, when they start prophesying stuff, they grab the kids, and we all get sent to Africa to be missionaries or something. We got to go somewhere else. You know, He's going to wreck my world. He's really not going to wreck our world. He's actually straightened out our world. He's really setting it in order the way it needs to be, where we can really have joy and peace. And you go, well, there's some things I really like to do. I mean, if you like to play the guitar, God might want you to play the guitar. He sets in us some things and some desires, and then it's amazing how He fulfills them. But understand this, some other people, and for all of us, I want you, there's some expectations that have been put on some of you by people around you. They may be good, they may be bad, but they're expectations from people that are around you. God is not requiring you to try to fulfill unmerited, unwarranted expectations. Because some people are looking to you to be something that only Jesus can be, and you're not their Savior. Doesn't matter all the guilt from them or yourself.
to try to be something. It doesn't mean we abandon people. It doesn't mean we don't care about people. It doesn't mean we're not there. We had great fellowship last night. Sometimes you just go be with people. I've been with people in some of the worst settings. And you go, I don't know what to say. And I'm glad I had somebody early on said it has nothing to do with what you say. Just go be with them. But you're not their Savior. You can't be their joy. See, that's an unmerited expectation. May God deliver you from that. And just love the people. That's one thing we're afraid to love and reach out because we think people are going to grab hold or we're going to be responsible for something. We are not responsible for being anybody's Jesus. As you minister, I love what you guys do with these kids. My kids have come through it. And when I hear the camp still going on, I was praying during camp. I mean, I didn't fast and pray. I was too hungry, but I was praying. I thought about it. I said, Lord, lay that on Monty's heart. He'll fast, I'll pray. And when I say that, people go, oh, so you were just in deep prayer. No, I mean, I was riding around. I knew camp was going on. There are times during the day it would come to mind. And I think, Lord, you know, those kids are in a setting. And it's not that, you know, you have to come to camp to meet the Lord. I didn't have to go to Memorial Auditorium in Raleigh, North Carolina and hear the second chapter of Acts. But that's where it happened. Something tripped. And you'll never know. And sometimes you do, but you never know what the Lord does in speaking to those kids and those youth and how they've... So thank you for being servant and just letting the Lord love them through you because something's happening with that next generation. Praise God. Thank you for being patient. I know it's probably been a little bit lengthy, but Monty likes to hear me talk, and I didn't want to disappoint him. I love you guys. Thank you for the opportunity. I shouldn't pick like that. It sounds a little irreverent, but this is family. You're family to us. I'm not here, and I thank you for that. I'm not here trying to perform or do anything. I don't do that anywhere, but I certainly, you know, it's just being with family. So, Pastor Lisa, thank you for the opportunity, and I'm really looking forward. This was a blast. Just, it's always fun to brag on Jesus, but also, this is a sort of a selfish, personal note. I am so excited to be here for the Beast Feast tonight. I have been wanting to come for so many years. I'm going to eat some squirrel and some raccoon and let Andy have some possum. But thank you for being gracious. Love you guys.